Praise the Lord, my sisters and brothers. We thank the Lord for this another opportunity to be able to worship and praise Him together with you through this medium. It's always my pleasure and honor to be able to just say a word. A word prayerfully, the word that the Lord would have me to give and expound to His people. Amen. Before we go any further, let's seek the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, we praise you, because Lord, you watched over us as we slumbered and slept through the night, and you blessed us, enabled us to be able to awaken this day, Lord, to be able to come together and be blessed by and through your word. We're praying, Lord, that as you allow the words to come forth from my lips, that they be the words that you would have to go forth. And then, Lord, I know that if it's your word, Father, they won't return to you void, that you allow them to go forth without question, without confusing. We know that that's what the enemy would love to do. Being prince of the power of the air, so often he's able to confound and confuse folks. We've heard so many times where one message leaves one's lips, but by the time it reaches another's ears, it seems like it's something different. But Lord, we're praying that you would direct these words that they go through the airwaves, that they be received in the same spirit by which they're going forth, which is your precious Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, that you grant me the wisdom and understanding, even the knowledge, Lord, that I can rightly divide your word. And praying, Heavenly Father, always that some soul will be edified, sanctified, and that it is you who's glorified. This I do pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Amen. Well, beloved, for those of you who are new to our message, I don't do always do things with seemingly traditionally, but it's all right. It's all right. At least I've been told it's okay. I'm going to be speaking to you mainly from three passages of scripture today, but like I say, you know how I am. I'm more than likely going to bring in some other passages, but that's the word. That's what we do. But I intend to be generally speaking to you from the book of Genesis, the second chapter, the seventh verse, 1 Thessalonians, the fifth chapter, the 23rd verse, and Hebrews, the fourth chapter, and the 12th verse. For the benefit of those of you who may not have your Bibles near you, or you may not be able to access them, I'm going to just read those three passages of scripture in your hearing. Genesis, second chapter, seventh verse. It reads as follows. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. 1 Thessalonians, the fifth chapter, the 23rd verse. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in Hebrews, the fourth chapter, in the 12th verse. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. We praise the Lord for the reading of his word. May his troops sanctify deep down into your hearts. Now, beloved ones, some of us are still wrestling with the idea of trying to correlate spirit and soul. Yeah, some of us are. Many of us still want to use them interchangeably. I have been guilty of doing that myself. But the scriptures teach us that they're separate entities. Scripture teaches us that. Now a lot of us feel like we have a pretty good understanding when it comes to talking about the body. Okay, so our focus is not going to be there today. But you know, 1 Thessalonians shows us that it is important to be reminded that man is made up of spirit, soul, and body. I mean, we are triune beings. Okay, mind, some say mind, body, and soul. Scripture says spirit, soul, and body. We're not going to haggle over that, but that's what the word says. Now, if we notice, okay, we already read this in scripture, but we're going to come back to it. If we notice, even Hebrews shows us that man has a soul, a spirit, and body. Remember, it mentions joints and marrow. We have a body. Now, get this. I'm going to say this, and like I said, I'm not going to dwell on it long, but you know, we are available for any time for discussion in the word. Matter of fact, as I say often, if you feel as though this is something we need to talk about, we can do it individually. We can even do it during a Bible study. We'll do that. You know, we have Bible study as well as podcasts available. You know, some of you know that already. So, and we have no problem bringing up something to discuss on either case. Now, you know, the body connects us to the physical world. Okay. I mean, the body, it sees, it tastes, it feels, it gets tired, and it even hurts. Okay. We know that this is the body. This is the physical part of man. Okay. I mean, you feel cold, you feel heat. You know, you go out in the elements and you feel these things, you know. You like I said, all of these things, the body, the physical body feels. And we also know that eventually the physical body will return to the dust from which it came. We know that. We who believe the word of God, we know that. We don't question it. We have no question about it. To us, it's a closed case.
Amen.
Now the soul. We talk about the soul. Now the soul sees, hears, tastes. Sounds familiar, but watch this. It sees, hears, tastes, feels, etc. You know, I mean, this is the soul. Okay, the soul connects us to us, to ourselves, to ourself. I mean, the soul is where we think, we remember. This is where our emotions lie. You know, love, hate, jealousy, you know, all of these different emotions. They all stem from the soul, from who we are. This is who we are. Okay. But I mean, even Proverbs, it tells us, as a man thinketh in his heart. Okay, I know some of you say, well, a man don't think from his heart. Okay, what he's telling us, from the recesses of your soul, from your being, as a man really believes, you know, in his core, in his soul, that's who you are. And that's another lesson for another time. Just wanted to let you understand when we talk about soul, what takes place when it comes to the soul. Okay, the soul is basically who we are as a person, our character. This stems from the soul. Okay. But as for our spirit, you say, well, wait a minute, the other two seem to connect. The spirit does too. Plus, you say, wait, well, the body had a plus to it. The soul had a plus to it. What about the spirit? Well, that's the spirit is that part of man. Now watch this. Y'all, some of y'all not gonna like this. We see that now back it up a second. That we see that the soul connects us to the world. Our soul connects us to the world. You know, and we explain some of the things we feel in connection to our world. That's not strange. Cold, heat, hurt, pain, tiredness, you know, taste, things like that. You feel, you know, you feel things if something was to crawl or be crawling on your arm, you'd feel that. Okay. So, you know, the body connects us, you know, physically to the world. The spirit connects us to God. Somebody said, okay, I got that. No problem. Fantastic. Some of you are still turning that over in your mind. Okay. Now, let me say that again. The spirit is that part that connects man to God. Now, watch this. And the book of Genesis shows us that God didn't just make man from the dust of the earth. I mean, that was it. He just formed him and that was it. Let him lay there. He said, well, wait a minute, that don't make sense. He'd be just like a statue or just a lump of clay. But God also took breath from himself and breathed it into man. You see that right there in Genesis, the second chapter, the seventh verse. We just read that in your hearing. Okay. God did this. This brings us to the question, which is also the subject of our message for today. Do you realize how special you are? Do you realize how special you are? Now, I'm going to read this again. Y'all get back to me. Okay, if you don't have your Bible, just hear what we're saying here. Then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. I don't want you to miss that. I want you to grab this, okay? Yeah, he formed man. Okay, he formed man. Man, right there from the dust of the earth, okay? And then, and only then, when he breathed into the nostrils that he formed in man, did life enter into man. And we just made a statement that God took breath from himself. Nobody else, with no machine, put oxygen into man. He breathed into man. And I don't, I'm saying this like this so many times for a reason. Y'all stay with me. I'm not going to be with you long. Just stay with me. God did this breath right from himself, right into the nostrils of the man he formed. And that man had life. Okay. Having said that, I want to read, you know, I told you I'm going to do this. I'm going to read another passage of scripture for you. Okay. And trust me, I'm going to tie these in. I'm not going to spend a lot of time to do it. That's what I'm saying. That's my feeling. Romans, the 8th chapter, the 14th through the 16th verses. I'm going to read these few verses for you. Now, I want you to hear this. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Y'all got that? As many that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Okay, I got that. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage. Now you stay with me. The Spirit of God. Okay. For those that are led by the Spirit of God, it is not a spirit of bondage. It is not a spirit of fear, of bondage that leads to fear. Now watch what this spirit is. Watch this. But you have received the spirit of adoption. He said, the spirit of adoption. He said, yeah, that's why you could say Abba, which means father. Oh, he said, wait a minute. God received it. We've been adopted. That's why we are. That's why we are called sons of God. God adopted us. That's what you're saying. You say this, and this is not something spiritual. This is what happened to man. Man. Every man could consider himself a son of God. Because from the beginning, when God breathed into man the breath of life, and this transferred like that to all men. So all men. That's why they have life to begin with, because it came from God. You say, oh, this makes sense. This makes sense. And stay with me. Now watch this. The spirit itself, talking about the spirit of God, bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You say, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. The spirit bears witness with our spirit. You say, are they the same spirit? If it's, you say, this was the spirit that God put into man. Originally, it was. He said, wait a minute, did you do the double talk on me right there, Brother Cotton? No, I didn't. I said I would make this plain to you. No, I don't leave you hanging out there like this. Watch this. This is where I'm moving, y'all. Y'all stay with me. Okay. Y'all stay with me. Now watch this. God's spirit bears witness with our spirit. God's spirit, the Holy Spirit, bears witness with our spirit. He said, what spirit is this? Ah, that's that spirit that he breathed into man. He said, but didn't that come from him? Y'all stay with me. It's going to make sense. It's going to make sense. It don't make sense to you right now, but it is. Because you said right now, it seems like we're talking about two different spirits. Watch this. Guarantee it's going to make sense. All right. Now God didn't, his spirit doesn't bear witness with our body. He didn't say it bears witness with our soul. It's not a mind thing. It's not a mental thing. It's not a physical thing. Okay. But that spirit, okay, we're talking about bears witness with the spirit that he put in the man. He said, well, every man, but I'm confused. Let me see if this makes sense. Remember what he said in John the third chapter. A lot of y'all like to look at 3:16, but remember the conversation that he had with Nicodemus. Some of us say that this is one of the, I don't know, maybe if I think real and think real, but off the top of my head, I don't recollect another sermon that God preached to one person. But look at, take note of this. We say it's a conversation, but some might consider this also to be a sermon. He preached to Nicodemus because he told Nicodemus two things. I believe it begins somewhere around 11th verse. He says, you must be born again. Oh, he said, it's starting to make more sense now. See, man sinned when God made him. He made him good. He made him perfect. Everything was lovely. But when sin entered the world, it tainted. It tainted man. God didn't remove his spirit out of man. Man still has life. He wouldn't have life without that breath of life that God breathed in him. But he told Nicodemus, as he's been telling us, you must be born again. Now, we use that phrase born again. Another simple way of saying born again is also a simple way of saying you must be born from above. It's a spiritual thing. He said, let me tell you something. Without being born again, you can't even see the kingdom of God. He told him two things about the kingdom of God in this passage, in John the third chapter. He said, one, you can't enter into the kingdom unless you're born again. And then he said also, two, you can't even see the kingdom. Don't you realize that that has so many connotations to it? You can't even see the kingdom. I don't mean physically look at it. Don't you realize how those of us who are born again, those of us who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we look around us and we see the handiwork of God everywhere. We hear it when we hear the birds chirping in the morning. Some of us who have been blessed to go by the countryside, we see cows out there. Have you ever looked out and see cows on their knees, on their two fillets, on their knees? Some say it looks like they're praying. Cows, cows on their knees. Some of us can look around and see God's handiwork. You look up in the sky and you think of Raphael, Picasso, Da Vinci, Michelangelo, and all these other famous artists. You said none of them can paint a more beautiful picture than what God creates in the skies from time to time. But you don't give God the credit like that if you haven't been born again, because you don't recognize it as the Lord's handiwork. Some say, oh, the creator, the man upstairs. When it comes to so many things, those of us who are born again, you recognize God's handiwork in the little things. When you look down, watch even the little ants working together to create their own little living areas and to carry what it is they must carry. We see it, yes, in so many things, God's handiwork. But unless you're born again, you see it as something wonderful. You see it as something beautiful. And you'll give credit to Mother Nature, to the earth. But so many of us don't want to give God his proper due. And God understands that. You can't see it. You can't see it. Like so many don't understand that father that spends so much time playing catch with his son. Warm weather, cold weather, damp weather, throwing a ball, playing catch, playing baseball with him, watching him go up through T-ball all the way up, through college maybe. Then maybe eventually he might even make it to the pros, gets drafted, and gets right on TV and says, thank you, Mom. I'm not saying Mom doesn't have a hand in that. But how many fathers said, wow, all them times I came home from work tired. Come on, Dad, let's play catch. All right, son. It's all right. It's all right. Do you ever imagine how our Heavenly Father feels when we give everybody credit but Him for His handiwork? Just a thought, just throwing that out there. Okay. He said, you must be born again. See, when we are born again, we become new creations, new creatures in Christ Jesus. So now the Holy Spirit dwells in us. The Holy Spirit dwells in us. Oh, we've become new. And the Holy Spirit now dwells in us. He must be born again. He said, this is what he means. He said, that spirit now that dwells in us will bear witness with our spirit that we are children of God. You cannot be a child of God. Watch this, until you are born again. You see, but God created all of it. I didn't say you could not be created by him. I said a child of his, the spirit of adoption that allows us to become joint heirs with Christ. You do not get that until you have been born again. Beginning to see a little bit deeper how this whole thing got messed up with Adam. We were so what? Special. God breathed in us, in Adam, the breath of life. This came from God himself. We know that there are numerous places in the Bible where it speaks of sons of God, but only Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. This tells us that Jesus is the only one who has come from the very essence of God. Let me get you to understand what I mean. God created so many things, angels, so many things God has made and formed. But Jesus, we can't explain it. This is where our faith comes in. And we're trying to understand what the scripture is saying to us. That God, from his very being, now, Jesus, the word says, not me, says that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. That means Jesus is the only one who came from the very recesses, the very deep. Only word I can use is essence of God. It's deeper than cloning. Everything that makes up God, Jesus is. And he's the only one, who's like that. The only one. He said, well, the Bible speaks of many sons of God. But Jesus is the only one only begotten, the only one who came from the very being of God himself. Like I said, he's deeper than cloning. He said, that's hard for me to comprehend. I said, and I say, as the word of God says, without faith, not only is it not possible, okay, without faith, not only is it not possible to please God, you've got to believe that he is. That's why Abraham is considered the father of the faithful. You've just got to believe You got to believe. There's no other way around it. So yes, Jesus is the only begotten Son of God, but God did breathe into man the breath of life, and that came from God. Yes, how special we are. First Thessalonians that yeah, we read in your hearing. Watch what he says. May your whole spirit, soul, and body, your whole spirit, soul, and body, not only this passage of scripture reminding us of how wonderfully we are made, but it's also showing us that the Lord desires that every fiber of our being, your whole spirit, soul, and body, with every fiber of our being to be found sanctified and without condemnation when the Lord comes. Every fiber of your being, your whole spirit, he says, your spirit, your soul, your body, all of you, every part of you. Every part of you. You say, wow, man is made up of soul, spirit, and body. Then finally, I'm almost done, beloved. In Hebrews, maybe again, which we read, we definitely see the triune man, soul, spirit, and body present. Watch what he says in here. He says, dividing soul and spirit. So it lets you know that you have a soul, you have a spirit, joint and marrow, you have a body, physical body, joint and marrow. Okay? He lets you know that. He lets you know that. This passage reminds us also that the word of God penetrates every part of man. There's no exception. It penetrates the soul. It penetrates the spirit. It penetrates the very physical body of man. It is active. Okay? It affects every part of man. The Word of God does that. Okay? Beloved, I'm saying this here and I'm about to be finished. When God gave man the breath of life, he put in him a part of himself. Oh, yes. It is not the same part that Jesus is. But the part he put in man allowed these joints to move, allowed you your heart to pump, allowed your mind to think, allow your eyes to see, allows your mouth to speak, allows your ears to hear, allows your nose to smell. The part that he put in man gave him the breath of life. Allows your soul to function. You can think, you can see, you can remember. You can forget. He allows you to function because of the breath that he put in man's nostrils. The breath that came from him. He didn't use any kind of apparatus to give man life, to give man breath. He breathed into man. He said the only thing he could have put in man was his spirit, not a full spirit. We could have took that, couldn't stand it. But he gave man a taste of his essence, just like he allowed man to see part of his glory. He gave man a taste. We couldn't take, we couldn't contain, we could not even be able to stand. This body couldn't stand it. this brain, it just couldn't stand it. We couldn't stand, my gosh, 1 trillionth of a percent of what God is able, of what God contains in these bodies of ours. He breathed into man the breath of life. Yes, man became a living soul. Man is able to function. And when he made man was good. Man was perfect. But when sin entered the world, it tainted man. Man now has sin in him. The breath of life that God gave, still in man. But now, he says, you want to become, join in with my son. You need to be born again. My son who died, who came here, suffered, bled, died, resurrected, and now ascended into heaven with me. He did this for you to be able to have a chance to spend your eternity with me. And all you have to do is believe that he did this and receive him. Believe him and receive him. That's all you have to do. From your heart, do this. You must be born again. You must be. You have to believe that Jesus is exactly who he says he is. And not only do you have to believe in him, you have to believe him. If I didn't make it plain today, let me make it plain, as I've been saying for the last several weeks or so. There are many people who would tell you that they believe in God, that they believe in Jesus, but then turn around and not believe him, his word. For if you believe his word, you would do what the word says. Jesus said, I'm not going to go out and spout out a whole tons of things that Jesus said, but this one thing I will say again, as I've said already, and I'm about to be done. Jesus said, you must be born again. You want to see the kingdom of God? You must be born again. You want to be part of the kingdom of God? You must be born again. That's that spirit that I breathed into man. Yes, it gave man life. But to have eternal life, to have eternal life, you must be born again. And to be born again, I mean, you have to believe that Jesus is the way. Because without him, and only through him, can we get to the Father in heaven. Only through him. You've got to have Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life. Then, and only then, will you be born again. Do you realize how special you are? Do you realize how special you are? That you, through Jesus Christ, through his shed blood, can return to a better state than man was in the very beginning. Some will say, well, we would just be returning back to where we originally were. Interpret it any way you want. I said what I said. The bottom line, that you can be in a place, in position, where you could spend your eternity with Jesus, with God the Father, in heaven, with Him. That can happen. And the only way it can happen is if you've been born again, if you've been born from above, if you have received the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. If you have already admitted, yes, I didn't realize I was born in sin, that I'm a sinner. But Lord, I need you to make me born again so that those old things can be put away, so that I can become a new creation, a new creature in Christ Jesus. So that when my time here on this earth is over, and my eternity begins. Well, let me rephrase that, because for those of us who are born again, our eternity has already begun. But when I'm ready to go into my eternal home, I want to make sure that that home is with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because there are only two options. I don't want the other one. I don't want to spend an eternity without being in the presence of God. Because that indeed would be hell. I want to spend my eternity being in the presence of my Lord and Savior, being in the presence of my Heavenly Father. That's where I want to be. And that can only happen if I'm born again. Do you realize how special you are? That there's no other creature that has access like we do, like man does. Praise the Lord. Beloved, I'm saying this as I come to a close. Jesus said, you must be born again. He said it in that passage alone. Just in John, the third chapter alone, he emphasized it twice. It must mean it must be important. He didn't say you could be, you should be, you ought to be. You must be born again. Do you realize how special you are to be able to have that opportunity? And all you have to do is just believe to secure your place in heaven. You must believe. To secure your eternal resting place, you must believe. The day is going to come where some people are going to have to prove their worth. Some people will have to go through some things, terrible things, to be able to make it through. Those of us right now who have accepted the Lord as personal Savior, we won't have to go through that. Y'all know what I'm talking about. It is called the rapture, and it is called the tribulation period. Those of us who believe now will be raptured up. Those who don't, if the rapture was to happen this very moment, would have to enter into a tribulation period. You don't want that. You don't want that. Do you realize how special you are, knowing right now you don't have to go through that? God bless you. God bless you, my sisters and brothers. And may heaven smile upon you. Do you realize how special you are?